doesn't.
It's great that you're gay and you're proud and you like to swing your wang around and all that jazz.
Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart.
You're sexy and tattooed and delicious.
And Larry Mead.
Hey guys, that's awesome. Awesome, guys. Let's go. Awesome. Let's go get some new sneakers.
Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch,
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Here's Nate.
And welcome back to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. I am The Nate Darling. Mel's back.
Oh my God, I missed your IKEA couch. I missed your apartment. I missed you. I missed everything.
And we missed you too.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to be back in California.
Yay.
But I still miss Larry.
Larry?
Yay.
Larry's a little under the weather, so he's joining us via telephone from his
toilet.
I don't know. He's somewhere in his apartment, chilling out.
I'm in Adam's apartment.
Oh.
Oh my God, you're having sick tummy at Adam's.
Oh, it must be a serious relationship if you're
right?
If you're over there being sick. Is he nursing you back to health?
He is. He always does.
Aww.
I can't do that. I can't be sick around people, and I can't poop around people. I'm a very private pooper.
So you can't poop, like, if someone else is in the if someone's in the shower, can you poop?
No, I don't even like pooping in public restrooms.
That's understandable. It's weird.
Wow.
Yeah, I prefer to find like a semi private one. I don't care for the big public ones.
No.
But
I poop better in public.
I have a courthouse restroom story for you. I had jury duty while you were away, Mel, and I think someone was violating a court order in the men's room on the fourth floor of the courthouse.
Oh God!
And the court order is courtesy flush, asshole.
Oh my God! I told you there's a lady in my office that leaves like poop on the rim every day.
Oh, on the rim!
It's very upsetting. I think she has explosive diarrhea every day, and it splashes up, and she's so freaked out she just runs out when she's done.
Maybe so, but this guy, I went back after lunch, and I'm like, oh well, before I have to report back, I figure I'll go and use the restroom. And I walk in there, I'm like, oh my God,
gross!
Oh my God! I mean, you're sitting in a public restroom. Hit the courtesy flush, dude.
And I have a pretty tender gag reflex. I can't deal with the smells.
Yeah. All right, coming up on the show this week, we've got a Roger Peon update in small town news. We find out once and for all if bears really will attack a woman on her period, and dog shaming. Those are all coming up. But since we only have Larry for a short period of time, Larry, how was your week?
Oh, goodness. It was quite exciting.
Tell us about the Rainbow Festival or whatever it was over the weekend.
Yeah, well, Rainbow Fest happened in Sacramento. It's a street festival block party. It was on Sunday. It was good. It was nice. It had a really good turnout. The entertainment was great. We saw Lisa perform.
What?
So, yeah, Lisa.
Wow.
Lisa and the Cult Band.
Yeah.
No,
and what was the other girl's name that performed? We didn't see her. Deborah Cox, a big dance singer. So the entertainment was actually really good. All the cheerleaders were there. However, Folsom Cheer Elite was not there because their season hasn't started yet.
Oh.
And they were missed because Cheers Fest's okay, but Folsom Elite is much better. And so it was a lot of fun. It's good to see lots of people out and one of the reasons I love Sacramento. It's just like a big block party. They block off like 5-6 streets, and it was a good time. But also this weekend was the first ever Gold Rush Classic softball tournament. So I played a lot of softball this weekend. 4 games on Saturday and 2 games on Sunday.
Oh my God.
Unfortunately, we were eliminated.
That's a lot of softball,
right?
Yeah.
We lost. We lost in a tiebreaker. If you've ever seen like a softball tournament, tiebreakers suck because like you only get one pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy.
Oh, I hate
but
one.
We finished fifth out of like 12 teams, so not too bad. We did pretty well. Our team was fun.
Why do you keep hitting the buttons on your phone?
Why do I what?
You keep beeping at us.
Yeah, you keep hitting one button on your phone when you're talking.
I don't think I am. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We just hear a beep that comes through. Either that
I don't
or,
hear any beep.
No. Well, not right now. That's okay. So you finished in the top half in the softball tournament.
Yeah, it was good. Oh, and it was an anti-cooperation league on Saturday. I was the guest.
How was that? It's fun, right?
So, yeah, it was so much fun. There's a really good crowd, and it was just fun. Like, being the guest was fun. I actually could have just done that the whole time.
Yeah, I loved it when I got to do the guest thing.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like. I haven't been asked. I'm the only one on the show who hasn't.
You're not as interesting as us.
Bollocks. Bollocks, I say.
No, but I have some exciting news.
What's that?
I know you're going to probably talk about the Comedy Fest and all of our various activities, but after the show, a certain person really talked to Brian about how much she missed Town Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Which, do you guys remember Town Hall at Anti-Cooperation League?
Of course, yeah.
So, this Saturday, Town Hall is coming back to Anti-Cooperation League on this Saturday. For
Yay,
because
I'm doing ACL this week, so I'll get to be a part of Town Hall.
Me too!
Yay!
Yay!
It's going to be a huge cast.
Because I only wanted to do Anti-Cooperation League would do Town Hall if I came, and I said, yes, I will. So I'm really excited, dude. Because I missed Town Hall. I always thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be. It can drag. For anybody who isn't familiar with a Town Hall improv, it's sort of an opening to an improv show. It's sort of how you... There are different ways to start an improv show, and this is just one way where you get cast members who sit out in the audience, and it's played like a Town Hall meeting. And it can be really, really funny if it's done right. So that's what the Town Hall meeting is.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss the Sacramento Comedy Fest this year. I'm going back to visit my parents in Vermont. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, leaving on a jet plane this weekend, and we will have a show for you next week and maybe a best of or something else for the week after, but we will have new shows for you on the website. So.
I'll just break into your apartment and figure it out and just do it like the Mel show.
Sure. You're going to figure out how to upload it?
Yeah, I'll talk about my lady bits.
We could do that. We'll get to myself and Mel in a little bit, because I want to get through this one thing, because I want Larry's reaction to Victoria Jackson. She's reacting to the controversy surrounding Representative Todd Akin's comments regarding rape and abortion. She said that if she were raped, she would have the baby because, quote, it would be a blessing, noting that the baby, quote, has its own DNA and is, quote, not the father's DNA. I don't know where she studied science.
I don't know either.
But father's DNA, part of the baby.
It's just because she believes every baby is immaculately conceived. It's an alien.
It is, isn't it?
She said the Todd Akin thing was so blown out of proportion, it's a joke. It was a little bit blown out of proportion, but in a way it was, and in a way it wasn't. She then carried on, and I'm quoting her here. How many times do people get pregnant from rape? It's 0.001%. It's a joke.
And the rapes where you don't get pregnant, they don't count as rapes.
I read lots of articles. I know people because I'm 53. I've known a lot of people, and I've actually never known anyone who got pregnant from being raped.
So he was right. It is impossible. My uterus spits that sperm right out.
But she wasn't done talking about rape and pregnancy. She responded to Gay Voices blogger Dan Stedman's post, in which he wrote about ending his friendships with both Jackson and Kirk Cameron because of their views on homosexuality. She discussed both of her gay friends. She said, and I quote, "I didn't see the post, but I love my gay friends, my best friends who are gay. I've never actually seen them with a boyfriend. It's like we've never talked about sex. I don't think people should identify themselves by their sexual life. My identity is in Christ. Some people's identity is what country they came from, but I don't think people should make their identity about their sex life. That should be private. Why are they in the middle of the street in a parade? Why don't they just have sex in their bedroom alone?
Why do they have to have all these religious things in their trees and be out in public being all Christy?
Larry, why can't you just have sex in your bedroom alone? Why must you be gay out in the street? Why must you be gay out in the street at Rainbow Fest?
Because they love parade.
Well, here's the part of it that's funny. If you're alone in your bedroom having sex, you're just masturbating.
That's
really true. I think she missed out on that.
Have I mentioned how much I hate her? I just to reiterate,
she's
cuckoo
crazy. I mean, let's be honest, anytime she talks about anything, she's crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely she's positively crazy. Nutty. All right, Larry, we'll let you go for now so you can chill out and feel better, and we'll check in when we're ready to record next week's show.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right, bye, Larry. You. Feel better. All right, so there goes Larry.
Good riddance to bad gay rubbish right there. That's what I'm saying. Fuck him. Fuck his diarrhea. I'm just kidding. I love Larry more than life.
It's true. I actually would rather him keep his diarrhea bug wherever he has it.
Yeah.
I don't want it in me house at all. Don't want it in me hoose. So, Mel, you're back from your vacation. You went.
You missed me so much, didn't you?
We did. We missed you a lot.
Actually, you didn't even really get to miss me because I needed some TLC, and you had to chat with me for like an hour during my trip.
That was fun, though. It's always fun to chat with people on Facebook and just hang out,
talk them off of a ledge.
Yeah, you know what? People do that. That's what friends do. I mean, that's the cool thing about Facebook is you can just go, oh, somebody's online. We can chat and go on about things that are happening. But since the NFL season is starting up as we record this tomorrow
Sunday Packers
Packers and Niners.
I know
we're going to rumble, Mel.
It's gonna be awesome.
Packers Niners. How was the you went to see the Packers play a preseason game while you were in Ohio?
It was so much fun. My dad got really good seats, and he was really smart about it because he was thinking about, like, where would I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
So rather than sitting on the Packers side of the field, we sat on the Bengals side of the field so I could see all my boys.
Oh.
Really smart. And we had really good seats, and, of course, Aaron ran the first two touchdowns in himself, so that was just so exciting. And I have a good camera, and we had such good seats, so I got, like, pretty decent pictures of Clay and AJ and Raji, and it was really, really exciting.
Nice.
I was, like, overwhelmed the entire time.
Is this the first football game you've been to?
Me and my dad were actually discussing that. He thinks we may have gone when I was a kid, but we couldn't remember, but not as an adult. I've been to many of baseball games, but never a football game as an adult.
Mm.
It was so exciting. And even when they brought in the second and third string people, I didn't give a shit. I was just happy to be there.
Oh yeah, at that point you're so far into the game that you're caught up in it.
Yeah.
So that's very cool.
It was really fun. That, you know, there were, you know, dealing with going home to a boring Midwestern state and going to visit family and all that. I mean, whatever. It's not exactly going to Hawaii with your lover on a romantic getaway.
Right.
But there were definitely some highlights. The game was the major highlight. My stepmom, she's not really my stepmom, but I call her my stepmom because my dad used to be married to her. Now they're still dating. So what do you call her? Like my dad's girlfriend, my ex-stepmom?
Kathy.
Yeah, Edie.
Okay.
Edie was great. And she was really warm and welcoming me into her home. And she had heard from my dad, I guess, that I like banana cream pie. So she made one from scratch.
Nice.
It was so nice. Totally like random banana cream pie, which was awesome. And I went to a sculpture park, which was pretty fucking cool. If you've never been to a sculpture park, it's like this huge acreage of land covered in sculptures of all shapes and sizes, some of which were like 30 feet high.
Yeah, I've been to a few. There were some around in Plattsburgh, New York. There's one south of the city, and there's some on the Plattsburgh State campus, too.
Sort of
the same deal.
Yeah, it was really neat. It was just this huge tract of land, and we had a picnic, and it was really nice. And I went to the Cincinnati Zoo, which was nice. We took Edie's granddaughters, and they really liked it.
That's really cool. I was watching WKRP in Cincinnati last weekend, and one of the characters had a Cincinnati Zoo t-shirt on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's kind of a weird little kismet there.
I love the zoo. Our zoo is really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was when I got to see baby fennec foxes, which were adorable little kits.
Aww.
And they were adorable. And what? Oh, and I saw my brother, of course, who remains rich and fabulous.
Nice.
And charming and wonderful as always. His house is now just about done, and they have one room that's just the Xbox playing room.
As it should be,
so,
I guess.
Yeah, and he also has a signed jersey from when AJ Hawk was at Ohio State, which
I think
is really cool, as well as a Pele jersey, a Michael Jordan jersey, and a Wayne Gretzky jersey.
And your brother is 16?
I think he always wanted, like, one of his sort of childhood dreams was having, like, a game room.
Yeah, like a man cave sort of deal.
So their basement has two TV viewing areas, foosball, air hockey, darts, a full kitchen and bar, the Xbox room, and then all of this signed stuff on the walls. And it's very man cave-ish and cool.
Yeah, nice. Nice, very nice. I'm envious a little bit.
Yeah, though I will say I did also, part of my trip, have my first migraine headache.
Oh, that sucks.
And I thought I was having a stroke.
Oh, no.
I didn't know what was going on. I was all alone because it was late at night, and I thought I was having a stroke, and I literally was going like, do I call 911? Like, do I wake someone up? What should I do? But I just sort of wrote it out.
Well, I think as Rosie O'Donnell taught us with her heart attack, where she Googled the symptoms and then went to the doctor the next day, the best thing when you're unsure about a really serious health ailment is to just wait it out.
That's what I did.
Do nothing, wait it out. It'll be fine, probably.
And look at me go.
Or yeah, I mean, you didn't wake up dead, so you're doing all right.
Yeah, and then the best part, of course, well, the best part was coming home, because I got to the airport, and I know he's going to be so mad at me for saying this, because he keeps saying I'm supposed to not say what a nice guy he is, but we all know Paul's a nice guy.
Sure.
And he was there at the airport with a big bouquet of flowers, which is the first time I've ever been greeted at a plane with flowers, and it was awesome.
That's very nice. Did he have a sign with your name on it?
He said he was going to do that, but he didn't. I'm so glad. I would have killed him.
That would have been awesome. Just like flowers in one hand and a sign with your name on it in the other, if he'd worn like a black suit.
Awkward. Yeah, my chauffeur driver.
Rules you out there. That's really cool.
So what did you do while I was gone?
Oh, God, what didn't I do while you were gone? Well, I'll start with the good stuff. If you've been to the website lately, you'll notice we have a new banner ad near the top of the website. It's for DDP Yoga. It's Diamond Dallas Page, former professional wrestler, has a modified yoga program.
And I totally know who that is.
Yeah, very, very well-known dude. And I started doing that 2 weeks ago, a little over 2 weeks ago. So I ordered the DVDs. Sign, and they're an affiliate through us, so if you are into that, if you're interested in finding out something, a little bit of a different fitness thing that you can do at home, some workouts are as short as 20 minutes long, others go up to an hour or an hour and a half.
Now what about people like me that are not very flexible? That's, is it scary yoga? Because I find yoga terrifying.
No, it's not really yoga, it's a modified yoga with dynamic resistance. It was originally called YRG yoga, yoga for regular guys. So it's a program that he sort of designed to be something that guys would do, not like your traditional om stuff. You keep moving. There's not a lot of sitting around in it. So you go from one position to the next, and, you know, it's a workout. Like, and I've been doing it for a little over 2 weeks, and I have lost 10 pounds.
Wow.
So far. So that there's a whole support website that goes with it too, which is really awesome, which you can actually check out for free. You can even join it for free. You don't even have to get the DVDs, although you're not going to get any of the workouts without getting the DVDs.
Right.
It's called teamddpyoga.com, and you can go on there, and people have like their success stories. Chris Jericho, a professional wrestler, he's just left the WWE to go tour with his band Fozzy. He was out of wrestling for a while. He had some problems with his back, and he credits the program, the yoga program, DDP Yoga, with being able to get back in the ring.
Wow.
And do like a 6-month run in WWE. And like the big star pupil of this is a guy named Arthur. And Arthur was a former soldier who walked with two crutches and weighed well over 300 pounds. And doctors said he would never walk unaided again. And so he got the thing, started doing it. He used a chair to be able to hold some of the poses because he couldn't like get his hand all the way down. So he modified it that way. He is now 160 pounds. And it's crazy to see what this guy went through, where he started and what he did.
Holy
and how
shit.
He did the whole thing. So it's really kind of a cool program. So I encourage you to check it out. You don't have to buy it. I don't, you know, if you do, great. Cause we get a little taste of that if you do, but, yeah, I'll sort of update how that's going along here periodically if people care. So that's the good thing.
Well, I like that we're sponsoring something that we're actually using and liking, and you're doing it, because a lot of times I hate when I listen, like, do you really have a bed from that store? Or do you really use a car from that place? Or do they give you a free one and you don't give a shit? So I like that we're actually endorsing something that we believe in.
Yeah, and I paid for it, too. I bought the program. And then we brought it in as an affiliate. So, yeah, I bought a yoga mat, and I do it. It's kind of cool. So it's just a yoga mat in my living room and
the
DVD.
You know what else yoga is good for? Getting laid.
Is it?
Chicks love yoga.
Oh, okay. Well, this is different. Well, that's the thing, if you're at the yoga place, but the chicks aren't coming here to watch me do yoga.
I know, but once you get all master pro, you can start going to the public yoga places and picking up the babes.
I'll just go out and strike some poses in the park. It'll
I
be
think
awesome.
Actually you should just go right out front of your apartment and just do it right out front on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I don't know that that's really where I want to do that.
The bums would love it.
So to the other part, this past Saturday, I left my apartment and I went to go get in my car to go get some groceries. And as I was walking by where my bike was locked up, I noticed something different about it. That would be that the seat and seat post were gone.
It was a shorter bike.
Someone helped themselves to that. So some dirty thief took that, and the tail light was attached to the seat post. So $82 later, I now have a new seat post and taillight for my bike, but a little bit pissed off.
People are assholes.
Yeah.
As a person who's had their car broken into and their house burglarized, I know the feeling.
Well, you try and put it in perspective, because it could have been a lot worse. I mean, our friend Nick Pettigrew, who for a while lived like three blocks from me here, had his car stolen twice. So we know people have had their car stolen, people have had their places broken into. So somebody stealing the seat off of my bicycle, in the grand scheme of things, not really that big a deal. But
and
it was,
I'm dealing with little kids that get raped every day at work, so I think we've got it pretty good.
Mm.
All things considered.
Absolutely. But I did go online and file a police report with the SAC PD, and I expect absolutely nothing out of it.
Good.
Because...
You will get nothing.
It's under $100 to begin with. They can't catch people who are taking full bikes, let alone a bike seat. But what it does do is, maybe if there are a few things like that around me, that means the police car will swing by a couple more times overnight. Because during the day, there's a school kitty corner to where my apartment is, and I see the SAC PD cruising through here multiple times a day. So it's a very safe area. I don't feel unsafe at all. And I don't know, it could have been a hobo. It could have been some drunk jag-off who was coming back from being, you know, a night of drinking, who happened to wander into our complex and steal it. I don't think it was any one of my neighbors that I live in the complex with. I think that would be ridiculous for that to happen. But
when I got burglarized, all my neighbors said they thought I was moving.
Oh, Jesus. That's great.
I'm like, but I wasn't there. They're like, well, we don't know if you had moving guys come. I'm like, who let them in? And the door wasn't attached anymore. Wasn't that a trigger, a red flag? They kicked my door in.
Oh, well, maybe they thought that they needed to take the casing off in order to fit the couch out.
Exactly.
So, yeah, people...
Which they did.
Yeah, of course they did. So people make excuses for that all the time. So that was my week. So that's the good and the bad. So, you know, either way, I'm not...
Dude, I think you came out ahead.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I mean, my bike is inside now, and I'm probably going to get, I'm going to order it on Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com, an indoor bike rack, so I can actually have it up off the ground in the kitchen, because that is $55, and I spent $82 to replace what was stolen, so I've done the math and figured out it would be cheaper to do that than to go the other way.
I was on Amazon today through the Nate Darling Show, because I'm starting to do some birthday shopping for Paul. And I want to get him a present before he gets back, but I have to order it soon so it'll be here quick enough.
Okay.
Because he's in Toronto. I didn't mention
that. Oh,
that's
right.
He's in Toronto for work.
That's right. I love Toronto. Toronto's a fun city.
He's going to go see the Toronto...
Blue Jays?
Play baseball.
Yeah, nice. At Rogers Center. It used to be called Skydome.
All I know is it's cool that the roof closes.
Yeah, it's one of the retractable roof stadiums. I think it was the first retractable roof stadium.
That's pretty neat.
It is. I've been there when the roof is opened and closed. So it's kind of a cool thing. And when you're sitting in the stadium, you can look out and see CN Tower right there. It's actually really, really cool. He'll have a blast there.
Yeah, he's very excited.
Tell him to hit the Hooters. Paul, if you're listening, hit the Hooters in Toronto. It's just up the street from from Rogers Center.
I'm not sure I approve of this message.
It'll be fine.
All right.
He's coming home to you with... He greeted you at the airport with flowers.
He's the best. He also left me food for the week.
There you go.
Because I don't cook, you know, so he made me a week's worth of lunches.
Yeah. While we're mentioning the website, I just want to let people know, in case anybody is a listener of the On Demand Super Show, the On Demand Super Show is officially canceled.
Oh, should we do... Do, do, do.
Hmm.
Do, do, do. A moment of silence.
A moment of silence, I guess.
Did you kill Hooter?
I did not. And I'm not going to go into the ifs, ands, whats, ifs, whatevers of it. But other than to say, when you're doing creative projects and you have people who have very strong personalities working together, sometimes there is... You just realize that it doesn't make sense for you to work together on projects like that.
So you work well with Larry and I because we're lazy slackers.
Could be.
We do nothing.
Could be. That could be it. But, you know, we did, I think, 16 or 17 shows. So think about the number of TV shows that got canceled in fewer episodes than that. I mean, right. we did pretty well. So no new shows for that. And I'm going to leave the old shows on the website probably for the next month, and I'll take them down after that. But it was a fun side project for a while, and it is no more. But I just wanted to let people know so that they wouldn't be like, hey, what happened to this? Why is this not here anymore?
They'll be all confused. Yeah. Oh, I have to tell you, when I was home, you know, it comes up in conversation. People always go like, so what have you been doing? You know, the friends and the family and stuff.
Right.
And so it kept coming up. Oh, well, I do improv, and I work at the DA's office, and I do a podcast. And I play bocce, because those are sort of the main things that I do. And so my family, well, Edie, wanted to hear the podcast.
Right.
Oh, my God. You cannot find 2 minutes of me doing the podcast without saying something offensive. And so my dad finally just sort of shrugged and walked out of the room uncomfortably. And she finally was like, well, I don't know if this is for me.
No, it's probably not.
I was
not.
Like, oh, fuck. I have horrible language. And of course, the first thing I uploaded, I said fuck in like three times consecutively in like 15 seconds.
Sure. We all have those moments.
And they're not big swearers.
Oh.
So, yeah. Sorry.
Well, this show is an explicit show. I mean, we talk about very explicit topics in a very explicit way.
When we first started doing the show, you know, I was so excited, and so I was really pushing with everybody I know. And I went to visit my grandma, and I put it on the link on her desktop so she could listen. And then I realized after like the third show, this was not something she should be listening to.
No.
So the next time I went, and I know she's not very computer savvy, so the next time I went down, I just deleted the link, and I don't think she ever noticed, because I didn't want her to ever click on it by accident and be like, what the heck is this?
Especially with the questions that Larry will ask you from time to time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
A gaping a-hole? What is that?
Yeah, it takes a very special grandma to understand that.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into the show now. Five metropolitan Nashville firefighters are on administrative leave after allegations of some improper sexual behavior. Captain James Overton, Engineer Kerry Sales, and firefighters Darren Bell, Quincy Corbett, and Jason Copeland were placed on paid administrative leave after fire officials learned about the alleged incident. The alleged sex acts took place at Fire Station 24, and they suspended the entire crew, but suspect that only three individuals were involved in the alleged incident.
Okay, now if you stop reading right there,
mm-hmm.
It sounds horrible, right? And it sounds like these guys raped some bitches.
Okay? Right. It sounds really, really
bad. It's a horrible article. But all of a sudden, if you keep reading, it seems like they started with the end of the article at the beginning, and the beginning of the article at the end. So continue.
Yeah, it was kind of
misleading.
Yeah, a little bit. Fire administrators say the allegations are troubling. You expect people to have some dignity and respect for the position. That was the acting fire chief. They work for taxpayers, and they should act as adults. The information came to light when the Metropolitan Nashville Police Department responded to General Hospital in regard to a woman who believed that she may have been drugged after visiting one of the firefighters' homes. While questioning the woman, she told officers that she and two friends had been to a fire hall on at least one occasion to perform sex acts for money. Mm-hmm. According to her and at least one other woman, there was stripping in exchange for money. Well, that's really kind of what you do.
I never strip for free.
Yeah, and sexual activity for money at the fire hall. When officers questioned this firefighter, he said that he was being extorted by a friend of the woman. He reported that he was called by a suspected gang member and told that there would be, quote, blood if he didn't pay him $500.
That's a really teensy tiny extortion, just for the record.
Yeah, it is. So then he threatened that he would disclose the relationship with the 23-year-old woman. Detectives set up a sting in which $500 was placed in the glove compartment of an undercover police vehicle. This alleged gang member arrived at the Pizza Hut with another man. After he retrieved the money from the glove compartment, he and his friend were both arrested. They were booked on a charge of extortion. Metro Police say the 23-year-old woman has offered significantly inconsistent statements in regard to what took place at the home. There has been no evidence of sexual activity occurring there. A blood sample from the woman was taken and will be analyzed for drug and alcohol content.
So all of a sudden, the whole beginning of the article is bullshit, potentially.
Completely, yeah. Firefighters have not been charged with anything, and they will remain off duty pending the completion of the investigation. More information will be released following the completion of said investigation. Yeah, this is shitty writing. It really is.
It sounds like it was a big fucking setup, but they started off by saying these guys did something horrible to some girl.
Right, and it turns out it looks like it's just an extortion deal. So, welcome to Nashville. We already talked about Victoria Jackson. Now, this other thing is something that I think you would enjoy, and anybody who hasn't seen this yet, it's called dog shaming.
I love this so much.
Dog shaming.
I do this to Rusty every day.
Is a new thing where people will take a sign and make a sign and write down what the dog did that was bad, and take a picture of the dog with the sign either draped around their neck or in somewhat conspicuous manner, and the dog looks so sad when it's being taken.
But the reality is, they're dogs. This is for our amusement. The dogs are fine people.
Yeah, they're not suffering severe psychological dog damage because they had to be posed with a sign.
Or going to doggy therapy.
Yeah. So some of the signs, I pooped by the elliptical machine. I ate a Herman Melville novel.
I had it coming.
I think the trash is a buffet. I snack on dust bunnies. I bark at doorbells on TV. Next line, we never had a doorbell.
Rusty does that every fucking time the doorbell rings on TV. It drives me bananas.
But do you have a doorbell?
Yeah, but nobody ever rings it. Who comes to my door? Nobody.
Here's a Jack Russell Terrier with a sign that says, I steal sandwiches. I am a complete bastard.
You know, years ago, when I first started dating Paul, he had this thing on his website that was a dog with a sign in front of him that said, I eat my own poop.
Yes.
Now I know where it came from.
Yeah. Here's a little bulldog with a sign that says, I fart under the covers. First of all, why is your dog under the covers?
Because they like to snuggle.
Yeah, well, don't let your dog under the covers if they fart. That's rule number one.
Rusty, it's been a couple months now. We have a little bench by our door where we go out so I can sit down and tie my shoes. And I sat down and tied my shoes, so I was at face level with his asshole. And he was ready to go out, so he walked by me and farted right in my face.
Mm.
It was awesome. Delicious.
Let's see. Here's a nice shot of two dogs. One with the signs, I puked in our crate, and the other sign with the other arrow says, and I ate it.
Well, that doesn't seem like shameful at all. That was just helpful in cleaning up a mess. Same with the dust bunny dog. Frankly, I think they're helpers.
Yes, they are. This one I don't quite understand. This is a tiny dog with a sign that says, I think that it's acceptable to burp in my owner's faces when they sit down to eat. Where are they sitting down to eat that this dog is going to be at that level?
Maybe they're sitting at the coffee table. He doesn't look super little. He's like a houndy looking
dog. Yeah, he's not a big dog, so...
Like, Rusty could totally... We eat at the coffee table a lot to watch TV, and he could totally burp in my face.
Okay. But that's something that could be combated. And finally, this little wiener dog with a sign that says, I poop in my mom and dad's bed.
That's not acceptable.
It is not. And you know what? Here's the other issue I have with it. I'm not a big fan of referring to yourself as mom or dad to your pet. I think it's kind of creepy. I know why some people do it, because they're like, well, I'm a caretaker. It's like that.
We totally do it.
I don't know that I'm comfortable with it.
When Rusty's bad, I'll tell Paul, your son did whatever.
You're part of the problem.
I know. We do the same thing.
See, I never, ever, ever refer to any of my pets in that manner, shape, or form. They're my buddies. They're my pals.
It's different.
It Well, I suppose.
It's
I mean,
just a different relationship because you're a single dude.
Well, I mean, even
it
when
would
I was
be sort of
even when I was a married dude, either time, it was the same thing that you know the animal. I mean, I consider animals to be pals, to be pets, to be companions, not to be my children. Yes, I take care of them, but in their own way, they take care of me too.
Rusty's our dumb little retarded son, and we love him.
All right. Well, we don't have Larry for this, so we're going to soldier on with the original segment on our show. It's time for...
Cool!
Hey.
Tool.
Whoa. All right, first of all, people being upset at firemen for doing it at the station. Allegedly. Cool or tool?
Can I do Larry?
Yeah.
So Larry would say that people should not be mad at firemen because firemen should have lots of sex and take their shirts off. And they should leave the door open so Larry can watch.
Sure.
And I kind of say the same thing. From a slightly different perspective. And the reality is I just get
What's
so annoyed.
Fans? Hope you're all geared up for UFC 151.
Oh my God, that was so scary.
Sorry. That
Oh my God, that's even more scary what just popped up on your screen.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Holy cow, it's terrifying. Okay. You know, I think that I know we expect police and fire and all these people to be better or different or more moral or more ethical. The reality is everyone's human. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone makes decisions. We live our lives. The other thing is, it sounds like these guys got fucking set up, so give it a rest.
Yeah.
It looks like Ace wants to be on the mic because he's sitting at the other microphone.
That's Hef.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Hef.
That's fine. Yeah, he's over there. Normally where Larry would be sitting.
Your son.
Yes. Yes, I birthed him from my loins. all right, up next in Cooler Tool, Victoria Jackson's brain. I'm going to go first. Tool.
Tool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And done.
And dog shaming, Cooler Tool?
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
It's so hilarious and cute and adorable, and it makes me laugh. My brother was really mad. He has two dogs that are somewhat neglected these days because they have a 2.5-year-old, and so the dogs don't get the attention they used to. So the one dog has taken to peeing on the little girl's bed.
Oh,
on her
no.
On her pillow.
Oh.
That's really gross.
Yeah, that's not good.
So now they have to keep the door shut.
Yeah, that's the thing with pets. You kind of got to figure out when they do stuff like that, there's a reason, and you kind of got to figure it out and work your way through it.
Though I here's my part of my theory, though. I think A, they're neglected. That's mm-hmm. part of it. But B, when I was there, he asked me to let the dogs out, and they have a doggy door, but it's like a magic doggy door.
Right.
And they have little things on their collars that when they walk up to it, it's like a garage door, and it makes the door go up.
Oh, okay.
But the one dog, the bed peer, always has a toy. And the toy blocks the signal.
Oh,
so when
so
I was there,
out.
I watched the dog repeatedly try to get out and not be able to because it was like the monkey with his thing in the jar with holding the banana can't get his fist out the game.
Right.
The dog didn't have the sense to put the toy down to get out of the thing. So no wonder he's peeing in the house. He's too stupid to figure out how to get out the door because it was a toy in her mouth.
The door is too smart.
The door is smarter than the dog.
That's unfortunate.
She can't get out the door.
That is very unfortunate.
I've actually been meaning to mention that to my brother and I have forgotten.
All right. So that's Cooler Tool. Quickly moving on. So I mentioned a few shows ago that I'd been watching a little bit of MMA,
mm-hmm.
Mixed Martial Arts, Strike Force, and Ronda Rousey is one of the, she's the female champion right now. And so I follow her on Twitter, and she got mentioned on this weird animated YouTube thing, and I checked it out. It's called The Tommy Toehold Show. And it's this animated bald dude with...
Who's terrifying looking.
with a beard.
He looks really angry.
I laughed at this whole thing. Let's get a little taste of the Tommy Toehold Show.
What's up, fight fans? Hope you're all geared up for UFC 151 tomorrow. Nah, shit balls. Well, at least we still got the sack. Every Thursday after Triple THS on Wednesday at Crave Online, I'll ask for questions from you, the fans, on Facebook. I pick the 10 that make me chuckle, and then one of you gets randomly chosen to win an awesome-ass t-shirt from Ultra Madman. Let's start this party. Tommy Sack. First question comes from Ken Nolan. Would you give up your mediocre cartoon web show and become a porn star? And if so, what would your stage name be? Well, Ken, thanks for assuming after being mediocre at comedy that I'd be a star in the adult film industry that is dominated by females. Stage name would be Cecil Peoples, because he's great at screwing people. Next question, Michael Cox asks, which UFC tattoo is the worst? Alan Belcher's tattoo of Kim Jong-il or Gray Maynard's tramp stamp? You know, I'm gonna say neither of these guys. While both of those tats are goofy as shit, at least they're original. I'm gonna go with every fighter that has their name tattooed across the top of their back or anyone that has any type of barbed barbed wire on them ever. Anywhere. John Hayes' brother, anywhere. Golden Girls fan? You're goddamn right I am. This one comes from Mike Hatz.
I love him.
I know she has huge cars.
I know, it's great. So that's a little chat. Check it out on YouTube.
How does the guy doing this voice talk so fucking fast?
He may speed it up because you can do that electronically, or he may just get really ramped up and be reading that quickly.
That is awesome.
People
listening, you gotta go to this site because looking at him and the way his mouth is moving is ridiculous.
I'll put a link to it on the Facebook page.
I can't stop staring at him.
Steps on my shoe and then heads for a table with his buddies. Now, back then, I was a lot angrier than I am now, so I couldn't let it slide. I went over to these guys, there were about three of them, and I said, "Hey, you gonna apologize?" And he said, "For what, douchebag?" And I said, "For getting your blood all over my shirt after this ass whooping I'm about to give you." They all stood up, and then I think you know what happened next. A fucking rhinoceros that had broken out of the local zoo burst through the wall of the bar, and his horn goes right into my mouth. Chipped my tooth. Hurt like a bitch. Next up, Ruben Stretch. If magic did exist.
So this is awesome. It's like one show a week. They're like 3 minutes long or so. I love this. This has become my new joy of the week.
Yeah, I have somebody I need to send that link to.
The Tommy Toehold Show on YouTube. You have to check that out. All right. Now
my brother is very into MMA. He has a bunch of signed stuff in his case that's also MMA stuff.
Oh, nice. He will enjoy the Tommy Toehold Show.
I'm going to send him a link and his friend who trains MMA fighters.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, we've all heard the urban legend that bears will track menstruating women in the woods.
No, no, Nate. We have not all heard
this. We've all heard this.
I've heard sharks will go for blood in the water. You should menstruate in the water. I've never heard why. Why do bears care if I'm having my period?
Well, because they smell blood like sharks.
But it's a bear.
Except it is, in fact, an urban legend. It turns out bears aren't attracted to menstruating women at all. Much like regular guys, not that interested.
Oh, burn on us.
A Yellowstone National Park report released this year and posted online this week is making headlines for clearing up the popular myth that women who have their periods are a magnet for bear attacks.
Bears really just like vegan hipsters.
It's true. That theory was sparked in 1967, according to the report, when two women were attacked and killed by grizzly bears in Glacier National Park. One of the women was menstruating and the other had tampons. Leading the park service to begin. Well, they were going to sync up eventually.
Oh, for God's sake.
Sorry.
The bear's all like, tampons? I smell tampons.
That led the park service to begin warning that bears might be drawn to the smell of a woman on their periods. Now, this year's report is a synthesis of the past findings on the topic, none of which have proven that menstruating women are bear bait. In 91, scientists found a range of black bears ignored the scent when in the area of four menstruating women and used tampons. Not just tampons, used tampon smell.
That's disgusting. What were they doing, swinging them around?
Well, no, you can't discard a tampon in the woods.
Because someone will hear it. Ah! It's like when you knock down a tree.
It's true. So, ladies.
That's why I don't camp.
So, you know what? I think this is a signal to women everywhere that when those magical days come every month, and you know you're going to be trouble for your man, go camping in the woods. You'll be fine. And everybody wins. Yay. And Mel just hit me. Eric, take a drink.
It's your first one. You're such a douche.
Sorry. I can't help it.
The thought of taking a tampon out of my body and then storing it in a plastic bag and keeping it with me makes me want to vomit. So I don't camp.
Well, yeah, I guess that would be a reason to not do that. I mean, what are you going to do?
And you can't bury it, I suppose.
You
can bury your... Oh, wait. Some places don't even let you bury your poop, huh? You have to take your poop with you.
Well, I mean, if it's just your poo, that would be one thing, but the toilet paper would be what they wouldn't want you burying.
See, that's gross. I'm not up for it.
Well, I mean, it's a carry-in, carry-out deal, Mel.
Ew.
That's kind of how it goes.
No.
You got to carry it in, you got to carry it out. It's true.
No.
There's no other way of looking at it. So, anywho, we're doing a little bit of a shorter show because we're doing two tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm on vacation for the next 2 weeks, actually.
Right.
So, we've reached the time of the show.
And we're doing the Mel Talks About Her Lady Bits show third.
Sure, we are. We're going to do it. Larry's going to just listen. We're going to tie him to a chair and make him listen to you talk about your lady bits. So it's time for Small Town News.
It is?
It is. It's time for Small Town News.
Do you
news.
Know how long it's been since I've gone, Small Town News, everybody loves their Small Town News.
About 3 weeks, I think.
Man.
And Small Town News is brought to you by our Amazon page at NateDarlingShow.com. If you're going to shop on Amazon anyway, please help out the show and go to NateDarlingShow.com and click the Shop Amazon tab or any of the Amazon banners around the site. It'll help us out, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. That's Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. And thank you to everybody who's already been doing that. We could use a little more, but we appreciate those who have already done that. So, Small Town News, of course, I've promised to follow the Roger Peon saga.
You know, I'm bated breath.
He is now out on bail.
Oh, wow.
As of last week, he was not. He is now out on bail. He had made bail, but he didn't meet the conditions of his release before. So he had been in jail for a month. He was the man accused of smashing 7 Orleans County Sheriff's Department's vehicles, walked out of the Northern State Correctional Facility last Thursday morning with a smile on his face, I'm guessing, and a song in his heart. Earlier this month, he used his father's dual-wheeled farm tractor to line up and crush the parked vehicles behind the Orleans County Sheriff's Office in Derby. Now, after destroying the vehicles, Peon drove the tractor toward downtown Newport, where police got up with him on the causeway before he made it to Main Street. Yes, Main Street.
Of course he did.
It's not that big a place. Go ahead and Google map it if you'd like. Since then, he's sort of become an internet folk hero for those who want to fight the power, which I don't understand. He doesn't look like any sort of folk hero I know. He looks a little like a tweaker. I don't know that he is, but he's got a little tweaker tendency.
From where I'm sitting, he looks a little like Kevin Federline.
A little bit, yeah. A not hot Kevin Federline.
Yeah.
So he gave one-word answers to members of the press as he walked from the main entrance of the prison to a waiting car. When asked if he was happy to go home, he answered with a simple, "Yup." He said he hopes to return to work, thanked his supporters, and said he had no regrets. When asked if he would do it again, he replied, "I can't say."
He is a man of the people.
He is a man of few words. His attorney called that Thursday a good day and said Peon's family will be working together at their jobs today. Immediately following the arrest, he received tremendous support from friends, family, and supporters worldwide. Some people have called Peon a hero and dubbed him Roger the Magnificent. They contributed enough cash to help him cover $50,000 bail. Now, even after making bail, he remained in prison until Thursday on a pre-existing case. He had a work crew sentence in connection with some driving charges and a disorderly conduct. But he is a free man out on bail.
And a hero.
A hero to some, not to all. Certainly not to us. He's really nothing more than, you know, for the most part, a curiosity, I would say.
Yeah. ABBA.
It is ABBA. I figured I'd end the show with this. Since Larry's not here, we needed to get something a little bit gay in at the end.
I love this.
Yeah, there you go. So that's the Nate Darling Show for this week. We're going to record one for you next week right now, so there won't be a lot of news in there about the DNC or anything like that.
We'll make it up.
Yeah, well, fill in the blanks anyway. The show's free, for God's sake. You're getting your money's worth. Anyway, we'll see you next week on the Nate Darling Show.
Bye.
Bye.